This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by the Fresh Pressed Olive Oil Club. Did you know that olive oil is at its peak of flavor and nutrition right after it's fresh pressed at harvest time? That's why my favorite olive oil is delivered to me direct from the latest harvest, thanks to the Fresh Pressed Olive Oil Club. And now you can try a bottle yourself, normally $39, for just $1, with no obligation to buy anything else. Visit myfavoriteoliveoil.com. In my case, it truly is myfavoriteoliveoil.com. Myfavoriteoliveoil.com. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. It's our weekly Q&A with Layla, something that I look forward to because we get great questions. Questions come to radioprogram@AOL.com, and then we answer them. That's yours truly, along with Layla Mutin, who is our nutritionist in residence. And could you give us our next question, please?
Oh, yes. We've got an email from Wendy. Why does my husband fall asleep after he eats anything in any amount, even just a spoonful? Meat, vegetables, nuts, soup, dairy, bread, sugar, no sugar, it doesn't matter. He actively tries to stop it. He says he's forced to lay down or fall down. He has no choice. It's like he becomes drugged.
Drugged. Okay.
I'm wondering if he's diabetic.
This is a little like advice to the lovelorn. You know, put on something nice for your husband. Go to the hairdresser. Show him some attention. He's obviously lost interest. No, I'm not kidding. I'm kidding. I'm not going to go down that pathway because this is truly...
what a rabbit hole.
Yeah, really. That's a different show.
Yeah.
This is a medical phenomenon called... somnolence, which actually is, there's a medically diagnosable situation. Now, if I were to work up a guy like this, well, first of all, we can't pinpoint an individual food.
Yes.
It's not a reaction to a single food.
Right.
It seems to be a reaction to the very act of eating. Now, a person like this, the correct workup for this starts with a sleep study.
Yeah,
because he may have sleep apnea, or he may have some hypersomnolence disorder. There's some people who have a hormonal, it's usually associated with part of the pituitary, that governs sleep. And it's often associated with obesity, which also sleep apnea is associated with. But there's various hormones with weird names like orexin, O-R-E-X-I-N, which have to do with an excessive turning on of sleep, which can be triggered by eating. Eating, by its nature, is a parasympathetic act, and it sort of switches you from an adrenalized state to a relaxed state. And so the very act of eating may tip him over. It tips us all over. All of us get a little bit drowsy after eating.
I just
ate before this podcast, and I was a little concerned, like, maybe I'll be low energy, but I just forged through it.
What happens is circulation is also directed more towards digestion.
So they say that's part
of it. Less blood flow up in the brain, and that can cause us to.
And especially in people who have some sort of compromised circulation to the brain, or are already on antihypertensive medications. Another thing to be looked at is testosterone. Because these sort of drowsy, low energy
men
might be low T guys.
Yeah.
You know, so I would look at that. That's also often associated with metabolic syndrome, diabetes. It's a whole syndrome. There's also a possibility that this guy has what sort of we could term an auto-intoxication syndrome or auto-brewery syndrome, where whatever he eats gets converted into aldehydes and even alcohol, ethanol.
Whoa.
However,
Candida,
right?
Yeah.
Auto-brewery syndrome occurs usually when you eat carbohydrates, though. And it doesn't seem to matter what he eats.
Right. It could be meat. It could be a spoonful of something. That's really interesting.
Yeah. So
sleep study.
This guy would be a fun guy to work up to see what's going on with him. We don't have that much data about his height, his weight, his sleep habits. Does he snore? Sex drive, is it diminished?
Okay. All right. Wendy, what a great thoughtful question. We're sorry that your husband is falling asleep this way. But yeah, a workup.
Wendy, it's not your fault.
It's not your fault, Wendy. It's not your fault. Oh my gosh. Best of luck to you and your husband. All right. We have, an interesting question.
You know what we have to do?
What?
We have to allow one of our sponsors an opportunity to share a vital message with our listeners. It's that time. So let's make that happen. Please listen up.
Did you know that olive oil is at its peak of flavor and nutrition right after it's fresh pressed at harvest time? That's why my favorite olive oil is delivered to me direct from the latest harvest, thanks to the Fresh Pressed Olive Oil Club. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and as a listener of Intelligent Medicine, you can try a bottle of their finest artisanal olive oil, normally $39, for just $1, with no obligation to buy anything else. I've been enjoying these harvest fresh olive oils for years. They are far and away the brightest, most lively, and flavorful olive oils I've ever tasted. Their antioxidants and polyphenols are off the charts because they're fresh from the harvest. They make store-bought olive oils taste dull and flat by comparison. Taste for yourself. Check out this generous trial offer and get your $39 bottle for a buck with no obligation to buy anything else. Visit myfavoriteoliveoil.com. In my case, it truly is. Myfavoriteoliveoil.com. Myfavoriteoliveoil.com.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for supporting our sponsors. They're what make Intelligent Medicine a continuing free resource to you. And now, back to our questions. Go ahead, Leila.
We have from Valerie. Hello, Dr. Hoffman. I have a grandson that has allergies every spring and fall. I would like for him to take some anti-inflammatory supplements. He's 2 years old.
You mean antihistamine?
Antihistamines, yeah.
She said
she says anti-inflammatory. He's 2 years old and has only one kidney. What can you suggest in gummy form that tastes good and is safe for him to take?
There's a product called Dehist Junior, which is made by Orthomolecular, but I think it's in a capsule form. So he's too small. So you could open up the capsule and put it into his food.
Put it in his pudding or something like that. That might be something.
Put it into his puree, you know.
Allergies every spring and fall. 2 years old, has only one kidney. That won't impact
the one kidney doesn't. I mean, it's congenital.
It's born that way.
It's born, you know, as Lady Gaga says, born that way.
Mm.
Right? That's the name of the song.
Right. So, Valerie, thanks for that question. Big hug to your grandson. All right. We've got an email from Brenda.
And by the way, you know, just back up a second. Mm-hmm. Look at his diet. I mean, maybe he's having tons of wheat and dairy. First thing, I would try and get rid of those things.
Get rid of those things and you'll find the allergies will start to diminish.
Yes.
It's true, folks. Yeah. That is actually true.
I can attest to that.
Yeah. I can too.
I had a little blue cheese on the salad that I ordered from Fresh today.
Uh-huh.
And I got congested immediately.
But that's dairy.
Because I don't have that a lot.
Yeah.
And it's also a moldy kind of dairy.
Oh, yeah.
But it's okay because I'm not going to have that 24/7.
Right.
You know, it's an occasional thing.
Right.
If I had it a lot, I think I'd be, and this, by the way, it's a high pollen day today.
Oh, yeah. We have to take that into consideration.
Right.
People will often find themselves overreacting to foods. We saw a patient this morning, actually, and we wondered how much the pollen had to do with some of her symptoms of histamine. We talked about histamine and lowering, putting her on a lower histamine diet, in addition to what she's already doing for other problems. And we talked about the pollen and how much that might impact how she's feeling and so forth.
Right.
So, but it's true. But if you change your diet, you may react very, very differently.
I put her on a histamine reducing program with sulforaphane, DAO, which is called Histaminex, I think, and, quercetin to block that allergic response.
Quercetin is wonderful.
Yep.
For that.
Well, that's the main ingredient
in
Dehist Junior.
Yeah.
So just want to back up and say we can't ignore diet when we talk about these kids with allergies.
That's true. And congestion is only made worse with any dairy. So if 2 year old grandson is having any kind of dairy or the favorite meal of kids is mac and cheese, that's not helpful. That's not helpful.
Yep.
All right. We have an email from Joe. Hi, Dr. Hoffman. This is Joe from Oshkosh, Wisconsin. I have a mother.
There really is an Oshkosh.
Yeah, there is. Oh, Oshkosh Bagosh.
Yeah, you know, it's
a children's clothing line, I believe.
When we reach Oshkosh, then that is a hallmark of our reach, is because, you know, we're sitting here in Manhattan and people in Oshkosh are listening to this podcast. That's great.
That's very cool. I have a mother that is in a care facility up in Michigan. She's not eaten anything in over 3 weeks due to her Crohn's disease and dementia. And I wanted to know what your recommendations are as far as any medications and treatment. My mom is only 63.
Whoa, I feel bad for that.
Yeah.
With the Crohn's disease, I mean, Crohn's disease is obviously a gastrointestinal ailment, but it can be controlled, but it actually results in far greater morbidity and mortality, sickness and death at an early age because of all the drag on the system that it causes. Mm-hmm. So it's obviously now been associated with some process in her brain that affects memory, dementia.
Yeah.
So, you know, I just don't know what to say with a complex patient like that. I mean, I think it starts in the gut. We've got to deal with that. We've got to see. She's probably on a bunch of medications for her Crohn's.
And she's probably on a PICC line. She hasn't eaten in 3 weeks.
Oh, goodness.
So it's parenteral nutrition
for
her. And that's
an acute
situation. That's
a bit of a grim prognosis for somebody who's so sick. You know, I have difficulty in working with patients who are in nursing homes because everything that I order is minutely reviewed by them, and they are fearful that they want to do very conventional medical care. And it's like, oh my God, take the vitamin. It's like, you know, we have to get special approval for this.
Right.
And, you know, because they just don't want the liability.
That's true.
They don't want to, they're really afraid of doing something. So undoubtedly this person could benefit from an evaluation of her nutrition. It probably has a lot of gaps. Start with, you know, comprehensive blood testing to see what she's deficient in, and then maybe augment that. I mean, hopefully what she's getting is a mix of vitamins coming through the line.
Yeah.
You know, those formulas are pretty comprehensive, but, you know, there could be critical deficiencies of certain nutrients.
Right. Joe, because it is an acute situation, she does appear to need to be in that care facility. Having not eaten anything, she's being fed intravenously. That is obvious from your description. So it's a matter of if you're unhappy with the care facility, because Joe says, it breaks my heart seeing her like this, and I don't think she's getting the right care.
Well, that almost goes without saying.
Yeah, that almost goes, exactly. And you might want to look for another care facility. However, do keep in mind this is an acute situation, and that's also what's breaking your heart.
And where's this person located?
His mother is up in Wakefield, Michigan.
So this is Oshkosh.
Yeah.
So you have
he's
to
from Oshkosh,
find
Wisconsin.
A functional medicine or a nutritionally oriented physician
who
is willing to get involved with the case, because you actually would have to have a physician making those nutrition recommendations.
Exactly.
Not a radio doctor who can say, you know, go give, put some B6 in her PICC line. You
right.
Know, so much you can do.
We can't do that. Yeah. We can't do that. Joe, where you can find an integrative physician is through ACAM.org. That's ACAM.org. That's the American College for Advancement in Medicine, ACAM.org.
You know, and I'll put in a plug for my own credential, which is a CNS.
Yes.
Certified nutrition specialists should be qualified to consult on this, and they don't necessarily have to be MDs,
right?
Because they can be master's degree nutritionists
like
yourself, or other health professionals.
Right, right. The problem with that, and I think it's an ongoing controversy, is the ability of dietitians and other
Depends on the state.
Specialists who can order a diet in the facility,
right?
Sans the physician,
right?
So there is that.
Yeah, it depends on if it's an RD state. If it's a state where the registered dietitians have a lock on who can give nutrition advice.
No, but not even that, Dr. Hoffman. It's a matter of can the RD or any qualified nutritionist like a CNS. Mm-hmm. They don't have the privilege to order without doctor sign off.
Yeah.
We're talking about ordering without the physician.
Yeah, yeah.
in a facility like this.
Yeah.
That's
so
what we're talking about.
We're saying is there are a lot of obstacles to getting the right thing done, even in a situation where nutrition could make a difference.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Oh, Joe, best of luck to your mother and for you too. Wow. All
right. And by the way, the solution for Crohn's disease, one of the solutions is to put people on intravenous nutrition for a while and allow bowel rest.
Yes.
So that's actually not a totally misguided solution. Yeah. And sometimes that's something they do at the end stage when people can't eat. And that's kind of controversial because when people are literally, they stop eating, you know, do you want to sustain their life via intravenous feedings or through a feeding tube in the stomach?
Yeah.
You know, it's almost like, you know, what are we doing here? Because there's no viability to the person, and yet we're trying to sustain them artificially when they may have limited prognosis.
And the danger of extended IV feeding is translocation of gut bacteria.
Yep.
And the consequences of that,
right,
which are not great. So that is something too. Our hearts go out to you, Joe, and your mother. Wow.
Yeah, 63, too young to be so
that's just young.
Debilitated and sick.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. We've got on to a lighter question here, Dr. Hoffman, from Christine. Do you recommend spirulina as a regularly consumed supplement? It seems to be popular now.
That's kind of a retro thing. I didn't know it was that popular now.
Well, I think detox being so popular that spirulina or wheatgrass, that kind of thing, is on everybody's radar to have. And some people will consume it regularly, almost on a daily basis.
These are bacteria, cyanobacteria.
Mm-hmm. So, yes.
I'm not a big fan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they actually use them as animal feed too. They grow in fresh and salt water. The problem is that contaminated cyanobacteria actually has neurotoxins in it.
You want to make sure it's sourced properly. Absolutely. Yeah. Your spirulina, your wheatgrass, or any
can also become such contaminated with toxic metals.
Mm-hmm.
I guess a reliable manufacturer is going to screen for that. I'm just looking at articles here on my iPad. There's an article on this subject by none other than Andrew Weil. Is spirulina safe? No. To my mind, spirulina never has been safe, he says. Hmm. I have been warning against it for years. I don't feel adamantly about it, and the finding that a neurotoxin found in some spirulina may be related to neurological disease is the main reason to avoid it. So he takes a strong view. There is, and I've seen the research on this, there is a place in Guam, which is a Pacific island, where a lot of people have a neurological disease similar to Parkinson's, ALS, and Alzheimer's. And researchers traced the neurotoxin that causes this, it's called BMAA, to seeds that the Chamorro tribe in Guam used to make flour for tortillas. So BMAA is found in blue-green algae, the self-same blue-green algae that spirulina is, but I'm not saying that commercial brands of spirulina have that, although they're. And Weil has a very scholarly article on this, credit to him, a 2011 German study that analyzed 13 commercially distributed algae products found harmful toxins in all of them.
Hmm.
So, you know, I guess I'm not that much of a fan of it, but I'm not adamantly opposed. I think, you know,
a little differential here. I mean, if we study a food to that degree, we're going to find toxins in everything we eat.
Yes, but this is one that is a plausible neurotoxin.
Yes.
And, you know, we
right.
know that,
you did mention those conditions.
Is that, you know, we know that there's actually some cases of neurotoxicity associated with people who fish in algae, really algae burdened ponds, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be careful because that can be picked up by the fish, ingested by the humans. And there's one guy who's all over this. I read him recently, but, you know, I think it's a little bit of an offbeat theory, but he believes that that's the cause of ALS, period.
Oh, wow.
And that, you know, BMAA is the be-all and end-all of, I think that's a controversial hypothesis, but so, you know, we want to, I don't want to poison the well for people who consume spirulina, because you know, I've taken it periodically myself. I've noticed that it's that great, you know, I think you can get the benefits from eating, like, you know, fresh green leafy vegetables.
Yes.
So
my favorite.
Why take an algae supplement? Is it a superfood? It's got certain proteins, they claim. I don't know. I think it's a little hyped up.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Christine, so, you know, consume spirulina if you wish. Source it properly. That's always a good idea.
Okay. We have time for one quick question, if such there be.
If such there be, let's see here. Yes. From John, dear Dr. Hoffman and Layla, my 4-year-old grandson sleeps much better when he's given a melatonin gummy at bedtime.
Okay.
My daughter is worried about him becoming dependent on melatonin. Is that possible?
There's some theoretical concerns with, you know, giving anything that affects the sleep cycle to small children. Although there are some studies that show that, for example, autistic children with really severe sleep problems benefit from a time-release melatonin.
Hmm.
So I would really try other means, if possible, to induce the sleep. But if...
rub a little brandy on his gums? Or, I'm kidding.
CBD? There's CBD now for kids, too.
For kids?
And I'm not sure, you know, is that salutary? You know, I'll talk to, you know, our guest when we do a future CBD podcast. We're going to do one shortly. If the kid is really beset with severe insomnia and that's the answer, that's okay. You know, there are other effects downstream of melatonin. Melatonin actually has some anti-cancer effects.
Yeah.
Could it then have developmental effects on sexual development because it works in some ways on hormone pathways, other hormone pathways? Maybe. So, you know, we kind of want to keep lean and mean on kids.
Yeah.
And I'm not a pediatrician. So I can't really speak to that.
Yes, yes. And I really don't practice much with kids until they're over a certain age. But, you know, he's 4. It's likely he'll grow out of this sleep issue, whatever that may be, whether it's childhood nightmares or some other thing. Or
just a developmental stage that kids...
And he will outgrow.
Yeah.
And he won't need to depend on that melatonin gummy much anymore. So, yeah. John, well, thank you for that very thoughtful question. Everything's in a gummy.
Yep.
Vitamins, gummies, melatonin in gummies, probiotics
statins,
in gummies.
Chewable statins for kids.
Oh, my. Oh, no. Chewable statins for kids. That'll cause dementia by the time they're 30 or something, right?
It says, this is a website, Boston Children's Hospital. Mm-hmm. Melatonin, according to more than 24 studies, is safe for children and has been used with little to no side effects. Although the use of low-dose melatonin to help children sleep seems to be safe and effective, more research is needed to answer lingering questions. I think that's where we're coming down on it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So I think caution, and it wouldn't be, you know, I wouldn't do it casually for no reason at all, but if there's severe sleep problems and it alleviates the problem, it's probably pretty safe.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you for your questions. Radioprogram@AOL.com is the destination for questions. And remember, drhoffmanstore.com is the place to go to sign up for FullScript. And if you sign up for FullScript, you'll have access to many of the products, supplements of high quality that are dispensed via physicians to patients. Check out DearHoffmanStore.com or use the drop-down menu at DearHoffman.com and click on the store, and that'll afford you access to FullScript. Thanks a lot, Layla, for joining us today and helping
out. Thanks, Dr. Hoffman.
I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.
This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients regularly, along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.